He found his house key, started to put it in the lock, and then pulled it out again. His hand went to the doorknob instead. And as his fingers closed over it, he felt a clear certainty that it would rotate easily. Shooter had been here. Had been, or was still. He wouldn't have needed to force entry either. Nope, not this sucker. Mort kept the spare key to the Tashmore Lake house in an old soap dish on a high shelf in the tool shed, which was where Shooter had gone to get a screwdriver in a hurry when the time had come to nail poor old Bump to the garbage cabinet. He was in the house now, looking around, or maybe hiding. He was... The knob refused to move. Mort's fingers simply slid around it. The door was still locked. Okay, Mort said. Okay, no big deal. He even laughed a little as he socked the key home and turned it. Just because the door was locked didn't mean Shooter wasn't in the house. In fact, it made it more likely that he was in the house. When you really stopped to think about it, he could have used a spare key, put it back, then locked the door from the inside to lull his enemy's suspicions. All you had to do to lock it, after all, was to press the button set into the knob. He's trying to psych me out, Mort thought as he stepped in. The house was full of dusty late afternoon sunlight and silence. But it did not feel like unoccupied silence. You're trying to psych me out, aren't you? He called. He expected to sound crazy to himself, a lonely, paranoid man addressing the intruder who only exists, after all, in his own imagination. But he didn't sound crazy to himself. He sounded instead like a man who has tumbled to at least half the trick. Only getting half a scam wasn't so great, maybe. But half was better than nothing. He walked into the living room with its cathedral ceiling, its window wall facing the lake, and of course, the world-famous Mort Rainey sofa, also known as the couch of the comatose writer. An economical little smile tugged at his cheeks. His balls felt high and tight against the fork of his groin. Half a scam's better than none. Right, Mr. Shooter? He called. The words died into dusty silence. He could smell old tobacco smoke in that dust. His eye happened on the battered package of cigarettes he had excavated from the drawer of his desk. It occurred to him that the house had a smell, almost a stink, that was horribly negative. It was an unwoman smell. And he thought, no, that's a mistake. No, that's not it. What you smell is Shooter. You smell the man, and you smell his cigarettes, not yours. His. He turned slowly around, his head cocked back. A second-floor bedroom looked down on the living room, halfway up the cream-colored wall. The opening was lined with dark brown wooden slats. The slats were supposed to keep the unwary from falling out and splattering themselves all over the living room floor, but they were also supposed to be decorative. Right then, they didn't look particularly decorative to Mort. They looked like the bars of a jail cell. All he could see of what he and Amy had called a guest bedroom was the ceiling and one of the bed's four posts. You up there, Mr. Shooter? He yelled. There was no answer. I know you're trying to psych me out. Now, he was beginning to feel just the tiniest bit ridiculous. It won't work, though. About 6 years before, they had plugged a big fieldstone fireplace in the living room with a black stone Jersey stove. A rack of fire tools stood beside it. Mort grasped the handle of the ash shovel, considered it for a moment, then let go of it and took the poker instead. He faced the barred guest room overlook and held the poker up like a knight saluting his queen. Then he walked slowly to the stairs and began to climb them. He could feel tension warming its way into his muscles now, but he understood it wasn't Shooter he was afraid of. What he was afraid of was finding nothing. I know you're there, and I know you're trying to psych me out. The only thing I don't know is what it's all about, Alfie, and when I find you, you better tell me. He paused on the second floor landing, his heart pumping hard in his chest now. The guest room door was to his left. The door to the guest bathroom was to his right. And he suddenly understood the shooter was here all right, but not in the bedroom. No, that was just a ploy. That was just what Shooter wanted him to believe. Shooter was in the bathroom. And as he stood there on the landing with the poker clutched tightly in his right hand and sweat running out of his hair and down his cheeks, Mort heard him. A faint shuffle, shuffle. He was in there all right, standing in the tub by the sound. He had moved the tiniest bit. Peek-a-boo, Johnny boy. I hear you. Are you armed, fuckface? Mort thought he probably was, but he didn't think it would turn out to be a gun. Mort had an idea that the man's pen name was about as close to firearms as he had ever come. Shooter had looked like the sort of guy who would feel more at home with instruments of a blunter nature. What he had done to Bump seemed to bear this out. I bet it's a hammer, Mort thought, and wiped sweat off the back of his neck with his free hand. He could feel his eyes pulsing in and out of their sockets in time with his heartbeat. I'm betting it's a hammer from the tool shed. He had no more thought of this before he saw a Shooter, saw him clearly, standing in the bathtub in his black round-crowned hat and his yellow shit-kicker work shoes, his lips split over his mail-order dentures in a grin which was really a grimace, sweat trickling down his own face, running down the deep lines, groove there like water running down a network of galvanized tin gutters, with the hammer from the tool shed raised to shoulder height like a judge's gavel. Just standing there in the tub, waiting to bring the hammer down. Next case, bailiff. I know you, buddy. I got your number. I got it the first time I saw you, and guess what? You picked the wrong writer to fuck with. I think I've been wanting to kill somebody since the middle of May, and you'll do as well as anybody. He turned his head toward the bedroom door. At the same time, he reached out with his left hand, after drying it on the front of his shirt so his grip wouldn't slip at the crucial moment, and curled it around the bathroom doorknob. I know you're in there, he shouted at the closed bedroom door. If you're under the bed, you better get out. I'm counting to five. If you're not out by the time I get there, I'm coming in and I'll come in swinging. You hear me? There was no answer. But then, he hadn't really expected one. Or wanted one. He tightened his grip on the bathroom doorknob, but would shout the numbers toward the guest room door. He didn't know if Shooter would hear or sense the difference if he turned his head in the direction of the bathroom, but he thought Shooter might. The man was obviously clever. Hellishly clever. In the instant before he started counting, he heard another faint movement in the bathroom. He would have missed it, even standing this close, if he hadn't been listening with every bit of concentration he could muster. One! Christ, he was sweating. Like a pig. Two! The knob of the bathroom door was like a cold rock in his clenched fist. Three! He turned the knob of the bathroom door and slammed in, bouncing the door off the wall hard enough to chop through the wallpaper and pop the door's lower hinge. And there he was. There he was, coming at him with a raised weapon, his teeth bared in a killer's grin, and his eyes were insane, utterly insane. And Mort brought the poker down in a whistling overhand blow, and he had just time enough to realize that Shooter was also swinging a poker, and to realize that Shooter was not wearing his round-crowned black hat, and to realize it wasn't Shooter at all. It was him. The madman was him, And then the poker shattered the mirror over the wash basin, and silverback glass sprayed every which way, twinkling in the gloom, and the medicine cabinet fell into the sink. The bent door swung open like a gaping mouth, spilling bottles of cough syrup and iodine and Listerine. I killed a goddamn fucking mirror, he shrieked, and was about to sling the poker away when something did move in the cut behind the corrugated shower door. There was a frightened little squeal. Grinning, Mort slashed sideways with the poker, tearing a jagged gash through the plastic door and knocking it off its tracks. He raised the poker over his shoulder, his eyes glassy and staring, his lips drawn into the grimace he had imagined on Shooter's face. Then he lowered the poker slowly. He found he had to use the fingers of his left hand to pry open the fingers of his right so that the poker could fall to the floor. We sleek it, cowering beastie, he said to the field mouse scurrying blindly about in the tub. What a panic's in my breasty. His voice sounded hoarse and flat and strange. It didn't sound like his own voice at all. It was like listening to himself on tape for the first time. He turned and walked slowly out of the bathroom past the leaning door with its popped hinge, his shoes gritting on broken mirror glass. All at once, he wanted to go downstairs and lie on the couch and take a nap. All at once, he wanted that more than anything else in the world.